Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. It's about you, but it's not about you. It's about you, but it's not about you. If I can draw your attention to verse 4, where Isaiah says, "But I've said, I've labored in vain, I've spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hands, and my reward is with my God." I'm going to read that again. "Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." I'm going to say that one more time for somebody besides just me. "What is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." Before I say another word, I don't know if there's anybody in here that's thinking, "I'm old." Somebody, "Oh, they owe me. I sowed and I didn't reap, or I did right and they paid me back evil for the good I did. But what is owed me, what is due me, is in the Lord's hand. So glad that what is owed me will come to me, that I can't be weary in my well-doing. I will reap a harvest if I faint not. I don't have to worry about what people say or do, because what is due me, what is owed to me, what should be with me is in God's hands, not in man's hands, not in who's the leader, or who's president, or who's boss, or who's the supervisor. What is owed me? What is due me? I need a witness in here early in the morning. I'm sorry. I'm stuck on this verse for just a minute. What is due me? This is why I worship. This is why I praise. Because I'm saying, "Lord, I don't know about anybody else, but what is due me is in the hands of my Creator. What is owed me, the reward that is coming to me, is in the hands of my God." And son, when you I was about to run out, you jumped up and I looked at the verse again and just got stuck on that for a second. I'm sorry. In essence, I'll get into the lesson that the Lord gave me. In other words, and this is something I've just been stuck on for the last several weeks. Y'all will have to forgive me, but it's because I'm believing God for something. And so I've just been saying God is in control, and I've been saying it over and over. I done played the song. I done preached it. I need to get over it, but I can't get past it. God is in control. My life is in His hands. My life is in His hands. Anybody, my life is in His hands. Something we used to say on a regular basis, my life is in His hands. Say what you want to say, my life is in His hands. Do what you want to do, my life is in His hands. Yet the reward is due me is in the hands of my God. It's a good thing to say. Remember that song that we used to sing when we were little kids? He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole wide world in His hands. He got the whole world in His hands. He got the whole world in His hands. I act like y'all remember that song. He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister, in His hands. He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got little bitty babies. He's got little bitty babies in His hands. He's got little bitty, is it little bitty? In His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. What happened to our belief that God holds the world in His hands? What has happened to us as a culture in which we want our world to be in our hands, instead of saying, "Lord, we want the whole world to be in Your hands. We want the whole planet to be in Your hands. We don't just want America to be in Your hands. We don't just want Christians in America to be in Your hands. We want the whole world to be in Your hands. We want Muslims to be in Your hands, even if they don't know You. We want folk that don't believe in You to be in Your hands. Lord, You got the whole world in Your hands, and we are blessed to know that, but why are we so intimidated by the idea of divine intervention? Why is it that we are so determined to rule and reign and evolve? And we crawled out of the ocean from monkeys and we evolved. Why are we so determined to prove that God had no word or had no part? What is it that bothers us? Why don't we sing this song anymore? This wasn't just a song. We sang it. Almost everybody knew this song. He's got the whole world in His hands. Well, what is wrong with us? Why aren't we gotten to as a culture culture in which we are uncomfortable with the idea that God has the world in his hands. I have a theory as to why we're uncomfortable about it, and I'm going to share the theory. Now, I'm sure you've got theories, and we can sit here and make a list of theories. I've got several theories as to why we have approached a place in which we're just not as comfortable as a culture. The country here in America was founded on the principles of Christianity and having faith in God. And for most of the world's history, there was a belief in some kind of divine power. Even folk that didn't believe in God or Jehovah or Jesus believed in some kind of higher power. What is it? What has happened to us as a people in which we're determined to put our trust more in science than putting our trust in God? Then what is that? I'm sure you have theories. I have theories. I have one word. I have an answer that I think is a part of it, and it's summed up in one word, and that one word is judgment. Judgment. Throw it on the screens for you. Judgment. Now, when you see that word judgment on the screens, you're going to see it spelled both ways, because you can spell it with an E in the middle or not. And so I spell it different ways. So forgive me judgment. Is it because we're bothered by judgment? Is it because as we become more and more enlightened and more educated and more intellectual, that we're just determined to become more and more tolerant? And I understand that with our tolerance and with our understanding of one another, but we have to be careful that we don't become somebody that doesn't want any kind of judgment. We don't want nobody to say nothing hard. We don't want anybody to say anything difficult. In a sense, if I allow for the possibility that there is a moral law, then I have to allow that there's a moral lawgiver, that if the world is in God's hands, then God may have something to say about what I do. The Lord may have something to say about how I live my life, and I don't want nobody telling me what to do. I want to be able to do what I want to do. I want to be able to live how I want to live. I don't want someone coming and saying to me that that is acceptable or unacceptable behavior. In our determination to be tolerant and understanding, we can't totally lose the idea of the word judgment. Can't totally get away from the idea of judgment. I was teaching my children something. I've been having conversations recently with my children about real estate. And I kind of said something to them, a little bit of a real estate one-on-one. Some of my older godchildren are looking at houses and stuff, and they're calling me and they're FaceTiming me, running around on the inside, looking at what's going on the inside of the house. And I said something to them that my grandfather taught me, and it's just real estate 101, and I'm just throwing it out here. And the real estate 101, from what my grandfather told me, is that location and square footage is more important than interior amenities. Location and square footage, where it is and how much square footage you have, is more important than whether or not the kitchen is done. Kitchen being done is nice, but if you have a choice between spending $250,000 for a house that's got 3,000 square feet that's not done, or a house that's got 2,000 square feet that's perfect, it would be smarter for you to buy the bigger house for the same money. You can fix stuff on the inside, but you can't make the house bigger than what it is. That it's just a basic idea, but people make the wrong choice. In the same way, if you follow that analogy, I'm saying that I would rather have more with judgment than less with autonomy. I'd rather have access to more and greater understanding that the Lord has something to say, and that God has a standard, and that God is sits high and looks low and cares. He doesn't just care about me, he also cares about what I do. I'd rather have more with God's involvement than have less and I'm totally autonomous. I'd rather have God's hand in it and I have access to more than I'm all on my own and I have less, but I don't have to answer to anyone. It's just something that we have to be aware of. And really, the word here in verse 4 gives us a whole nother reason for us to want God in control, or my life is in his hands, or what is due me is in the hands of my God. And that is, it's just the effects of life and time. The effects of life and time. This earlier service, this 9 o'clock service, has a tendency. We're a little older in this service. This service attracts people that got a few years on them. Second service, all the young. This service got folk my age, little younger, little older. Help us, Holy Ghost. Something happens when you've been on the planet for a minute. Something happens when you've been alive for longer than 5 minutes. Something happens when them gray hairs are peeking out and you plucking them and dyeing them and burning them and rebuking them and getting them out your chin. Help us, male and female. Something happened when life and time hit you. There began to be questions and ideas and thoughts that you never had before. Something happens when your parents start to get older. Something happens when your parents, your grandparents are gone and your parents are getting older. Something happens to you. There are thoughts that you begin to have that you may have never had before. And here in Isaiah 49, he gives a thought that can come on you, and it's a scary thought. And that scary thought is, all this work for what? All this work for what? All of this, and have I spent my strength for nothing? All of this trying, and is it really worth anything? I've spent my strength in gain. It's really done almost nothing for me at all. I've worked hard, I've strived hard, I've pushed hard, I've believed for much, and where am I really? What have I really accomplished? What is really going to be said about me? What have I really done, and will it outlive me? All of this stuff I've got, what is it really? What's it really worth? And have I built anything that will outlive me? Get some years on you, and you start thinking legacy. I'm going to preach this in the second service, but in this first service, we start living for a while, and you start thinking legacy. You start thinking, what you going to do with this stuff I leave you? If I leave you anything, what will you do with it? You start thinking legacy when you're on the planet for a minute, and you start to have that question, all of this work, but for what? I don't want my working to be in vain. I don't want my living to be in vain. I don't want the thing that I threw my energy at to be something that is in vain. And God steps in and says, don't worry about that. I have a plan. Don't worry about that. I have a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. So when that thought comes to me, again, it's why he connected those two thoughts together in verse 4. When that thought comes to me, I say, well, my life is in God's hands. What is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. That in all of my chasing whatever career goal I may have set for myself, that a part of the peace, a part of peace happens from me saying, hey, God has a plan, and I'm determined to be a part of that plan. Is this his plan or your plan? It's an excellent question. Is this his plan or your plan? Very often, I'm saying, Lord, is this your plan or is this my plan? God, I want to go with your plan, because if we just go with my plan, at some point, I'm going to go see the Lord. At some point, not going to live forever. At some point, I don't want all of this work to be in vain. So is it his plan or is it your plan? You ever go with someone else's plan because of love? That's a question. You ever go with someone else's plan because of love? You ever talking to somebody, you try to give them some counsel, try to give them some advice, try to give them some wisdom, and you love them, and they reject your wisdom, and so then you say, okay, we'll go with your plan because of your love for them. You don't necessarily think that what they're saying is gonna work, but you love them, so we just gonna ride down this thing together. I know I'm not the only one. I'm at a point where I'm like, well, you don't want to hear me. You don't want to listen to me. Love y'all. Love you. And I got to watch you a little bit from afar, but I don't want the Lord to be in a situation with me where he has spoken to me and he has given me a plan and he's trying to get me to be a part of his plan, but I'm so determined to be stuck on my plan that he loves me and he's like, well, Andy, I'm with you. This is not my perfect will. This is not my plan for you. I mean, I love you. I said I'd never leave you. I said I'd never forsake you. I said I'd be there with you till the end of the age, but I mean, I'm here because I love you, but this is not my plan. This is not my purpose, that I have found myself more in the permissive will of God than the perfect will of God. And I'm determined as I get older, I'm determined even more. As I gain more wisdom, I'm determined even more to be in God's plan, to see God's plan. It's not just as I get older. It's as I see the generation that's before me get older, and I see where they are and seeing where they're ending up, and I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to end up where they ended up. And so, Lord, I want to make some changes. And Lord, that look right, but that don't look like it's the way to go. And so, Lord, I need to make some changes because I want to end up in a better place than where they... Lord, is this my plan or is this your plan? Lord, what is it? What's it worth to spend all of that energy for nothing? All of that and still lose it all. All of that and still end up with less. That in essence, I realize that I've got to surrender to the plan of God and I'm searching for his plan. But even more than that, understanding that God has a plan and wanting to find my place in his plan brings peace. Brings peace. Sometimes the peace just comes from me saying, my life is in his hand. So sometimes when I'm trying to go to sleep and something hadn't happened yet that I'm believing to happen, I just say, well, Lord, my life is in your hands. And sometimes when I'm bothered by stuff that's lining up, and I say, well, Lord, this is not just my plan. This is your plan. God, have your way in my life. Lord, if it's possible, let this thing happen. But God, I'm surrendered to your plan. Use me for your purpose. God, have your way in my life. And I surrender to the idea that God has a plan and that I want to be a part of his plan, God's plan. It's about you, but it's not about you. God's plan. It's about you, but it's not about you. Isaiah steps up and says, listen, sure the Lord loves me. Son Manny, Pastor Manny, my son, talked about the love of God. Sure God loves me, but it's not just that he loves me. He loves the world. So I can't love God who I don't see and hate you who I do see. And the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Part of the reason why I got to love my neighbor as I love myself is because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that God has a plan for the planet. And then I realize that God's love plan includes me. And a part of the reason why he loves me and blesses me is because it's not about me. It is about me, but it's not just about me. It's about blessing me, but it's not just about blessing me. It's about loving me, but it's not just about loving me. That actually, God has a plan, and there is a peace that is found when you surrender to the plan of God. There is a peace that passes understanding, good God, that guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And if you could just say, well, Lord, I am surrendered to your plan. I acknowledge that you are in control. I acknowledge that you have a plan for the world. And I'm determined to be a part of it. It puts my life in a little bit of a different perspective. And all of us need to have that perspective, not just preachers. All of us need to have that perspective, not just folk in the ministry, because all of us are in the ministry, because we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As a matter of fact, the worship service that we had today was a part of the ministry that we have been called to. You're not just praising God to sense him. You're praising God because something happens in an area where people praise God. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Something happens in an area when people praise God. Something happens in the triangle when there are worshipers in the triangle. More worshipers in the triangle, the better off the triangle's gonna be. Lord, will you spare the city for 50? So the more worshipers are in the area, the greater. We didn't just worship God today just to have a good service. We worship to tear down the stronghold. We worship to tear open the heavens, so that the area will be spared. Good God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God said he'd hear from heaven and heal the land. Not just heal us, but heal the land. So when we have a worship service, we're involved in the ministry when we worship God. You raising your hands and saying, Lord, have your way. That it tears open the heavens. And we're saying, Lord, let it rain. Lord, have your way in the area. Lord, let your rain fall on the just and the unjust. Not just the just, but the unjust get blessed because of the prayers of the saints. They make something happen. And so I begin to agree with Isaiah. God speaks to Isaiah. Really, God speaks to all of us and really lays out the plan that he has. And let me share it with you really quickly because I'm running out of time. So I've got these pieces of God's plan. It's only four of them, so I'll be able to share them real quick. The first part of God's plan, you'll see it there in Isaiah 49 in the middle of the verse 1 where he says, Isaiah says, the Lord says to Isaiah, Isaiah says, before I was born, the Lord called me. For my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. So the first part of it is that I'm appointed for his mission to earth plan. You are appointed for his mission to earth plan that God sent me. Matter how I got here, God sent me. Before I was born, he called me. He said, Andy, come over here. Called me. I'm about to send you down there. And when you get there, there's a mission that I have for you. Now, you're going to forget me, but I'm going to remind you of it as you're walking in the flesh that my parents named me and God started calling me. No matter how you got here, still understand that before he formed you in the womb, he knew you. Isaiah is not the only one that says this. There are several prophets that say, before you formed me in the womb, you knew me. That means that the part of the reason why we are compelling the world to be reconciled to God is because we all knew the Lord before we got here. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. We all knew him before we got here. We had a conversation with him before we got sent here. And he said to us, all right, I'm about to send you down there. Now, when you get there, you're going to find out you're black. When you get there, you're going to find out you're a woman. When you get there, you're going to find out you're Chinese. When you get there, you're going to find out you're a little bit of black and a little bit. When you get there, you're going to order an Ancestry.com kit so you can figure out exactly what you are. But I'm sending you there on a mission, and I don't want you to allow the stuff of the flesh to totally deter you from what I sent you there to do. I'll put you in a situation in which you can be reminded, and I'm going to start calling you. Now, when you get there, they're going to name you, and I'm going to start calling you. I wish I had a witness in the building. I need a witness. I need a witness. I need a witness. Somebody that can say, it's so true. There's just always been something that's happening. And I've always kind of heard a verse and I've always have felt the presence. And there's been things that I could not explain. And when other people went, I didn't go. And I went, somehow I got spared. And somehow I've made it for just such a time as this. Because God's hand is on you. That God has a light and salt plan for the planet. God has a light and salt plan for the planet. You are here to bring light and to preserve. You are here to bring light and to preserve. You are here to remind somebody that the Lord loves them. You are here to remind somebody that God can make something happen. You are here with your life to say, look at what the Lord can do if you can trust him. You are here to be a remnant of believers, folk who still have faith, that believe that God can still make a way where there is no way. You are here to be a light. You are here to be a light in this dark world. You are here to preserve the knowledge of God. We are here to fight for faith in God. Not just our faith in God, but people's ability to have faith in God. We are here to fight for prayer. We are here to fight for worship. My Lord, we are here to fight for church. When somebody tells me what they say about church, son, I say the devil is a liar. We are here to fight for church. We're going to hear the stats, and then we're going to do whatever we need to do to make sure that this next generation knows God, because from generation to generation, God is God. And we're not going to just throw our hands up and give way to the devil. This is a battle, and we are here to fight for the faith. We are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to die. We have to hold up the bloodstained banner. We got to tell our children, baby, I don't know what they tell you, but God got a plan for you, and God is real, and God is alive. And some people doubt the Lord, but he's real in my soul today. He has washed my sins away. I don't know about anybody else, but I've got an experience, and I know for myself. So, baby, don't let nobody talk you out of the fact that God is alive. I know he's alive. Oh, I need a witness in the building. The more doubt there is, the stronger the folk with faith got to be. We have to realize we are here to preserve the faith. There's a question in the Bible that says, when the Lord returns, will he find faith in the earth? Our response is supposed to be yes. Lord, if nothing else, we're going to pass the baton of faith. We're going to pass the, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we have to run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. I don't know about you, but when I die, people still going to be praying. I don't know about you, but when I die, folk are still going to be saying hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get as many young people and as many millennials and as many teenagers to believe God. If nothing else, I'm here to preserve church. Sure, I'll do this streaming thing, but at some point, we got to gather back together again. We got to come together and worship, because I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of God. Let's get up and take a bath, hallelujah, and go to church. Oh, let's take a shower and go down to the church, because I can't just receive. I have to give. I have to serve. I have to go into a community and make a difference in the life of a child who doesn't even know that God has a plan for them. Tell somebody you're appointed. You're appointed. Tell somebody you're appointed. Who knows that you have come to the kingdom for just such a time as this? It is not an accident that you are born during this time. It is not an accident that you are. It is not an accident that you have been through what you've been through. And what the devil has meant for evil, God can turn that thing around for your good. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Even if you find yourself in prison like Joseph, you are being strengthen for a battle that will bring glory to God. and for you to have impact on the earth. He said, number one, that I've appointed you for this mission to earth plan. God has a plan for the earth. Help us, Holy Ghost. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God has a plan for the earth, and we all a part of it. It's not just preachers, it's a part of it. We all a part of it. We have to be a part of his mission to earth plan. We are all appointed for that. Number two, he says in verse two, he made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. So the second thing is that I am armed for the earth mission. You have been sent here, appointed, and you have been armed for this earth mission. God gave me this mouth. Help us, Holy Ghost. God gave me this mouth. God gave me this mouth. God gave made my tongue like a sharpened sword. I'm talking to somebody in here. God gave me this mouth. Anybody in here? Your mouth got you into trouble? I need a witness in the back. Anybody in here, raise your hand before the Lord come down. Anybody in here, your mouth said, your mama said, you open that mouth again at me and see what's going to happen. Anybody, your mama had to pop you in the mouth? Y'all don't know what I'm talking. Bring me them lips. If you open your mouth one more time, that there is a sharpness in your mouth. Anybody now? The biggest thing you say sorry to God for is your mouth. I wish I had a witness in the building. The thing when you lay down to go to sleep, you're like, Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, please forgive me for saying that. Lord, I cuss them out again. Lord, be with me. Pastor Andy said that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speak. So I got some cussing in my heart. God, help me. In essence, what the Lord is saying is, if you are quick enough to crack, then you are anointed enough to bless. If you have a quick enough mouth, when somebody says something to you, your brain works back and you say, oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. If your mouth is like that, how dare you have a mouth that can crack on somebody and you don't use that exact same mouth to open up your mouth and speak things into existence. Call those things that be not as though they were. If you can hurt somebody's feelings with your mouth, then you can lift somebody's spirit with your mouth. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. I went into my son's room the other day, and they're just in there on a computer watching rap battles. Rap battles. And I'm just amazed at how quick our brains and mouths are, how we can just freestyle and come up with stuff and look at somebody and go to town on them with quickness from your mouth. I'm saying that that's a sign that you're anointed. I almost can't watch a comedian without thinking you ought to be preaching someplace. I almost can't watch a comedian without thinking, oh my Lord, if we could just get you on a stage with a Bible in your hand. Oh my God, the Lord gave you that mouth so that you could bless the world, not curse it. I don't know about you, but Michael Jackson was anointed to me. When he said, whoa, I said, oh, my Lord, I feel the whole, that if you got a gift, you've been given that gift to impact the earth. That's why Psalm 19 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer, his words in my mouth. Oh my Lord, if I can get rapper's delight through the hip, if I can memorize that and say that, if I can get that in my mouth, then what will happen if I can get the word in my mouth and get scripture in my heart and scriptures in my mouth? We got everything in our mouth but the word. We know every jingle, help us. We know every song. We got everybody's lyrics. What would happen if you just took that and applied that to the word? And instead of walking around speaking the music to your life, you spoke the word over your life and word over your situation. The Lord gave you a quick mouth. The Lord made your mouth like a sharpened sword. Your mouth can draw blood. You said stuff to your mother with the door closed. Clean your room, clean my room. You need to clean your room. What was that? I said, I'm looking for the broom. I mean, you've been back talking since the moment you can remember. Oh, and I wish nobody even had to teach you how to back talk. At 3, you were saying stuff smart like no and why and stop. Your mother had to tell you, don't you tell me no. No. Because your mouth has been sharpened to speak life. Number 3, third thing he says in verse 3, he said, he made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you're my servant Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. Number 3, you are aimed at specific targets in this earth mission. You're an arrow that God has aimed at specific targets in this earth mission. God is looking for straight arrows. So there's a lot of work that the Lord has been doing on me just to bang me straight. Just to get me from crooked to straight. When it says he makes the crooked straight, he's also talking about the arrows that he's trying to shoot at a directed purpose. You're here for a targeted purpose. You're here for a target that is specific in this earth mission, that you're actually looking for direction. God has created us to look for direction, specifically his direction. Which I'm saying, Lord, is this what you want? Lord, do you want me in here? Lord, do you want me over there? Because, Lord, I'll be able to influence people in that world if that's where you want me. Lord, shoot me. Lord, you want me in the banking world? Shoot me in the banking world. Lord, you want me on this board? Oh, so, Lord, I see. Oh, my Lord. Lord, I see that all of this stuff has been leading up for me to be in this particular place at this particular time. Oh, my God. Now, Lord, it all makes sense. I realize that you have been aiming me at this whole time. That you have a direction for me, a specific target, that I'm polished. A polished arrow is an arrow that is easier to retrieve. See, a polished arrow is an arrow that is straight, an arrow that is together, and an arrow that when I shoot it, I'll go back and get it. And if it's polished, then the light of the sun will glint off of it so I can find it easier. Meaning that I'm an arrow that God is not going to throw away. I'm an arrow that even if I miss the mark, God will still go get me. I need help us, Holy Ghost. Even if I don't do exactly what I'm supposed to do, the Lord is walking around looking for that arrow. What did I do? Hey, there you go. Let me get this. And let me bring you back and shine you up again, because I'll shoot you again because his mercy endures. I'm a polished arrow, meaning that he will retrieve me. I don't know what it is about us today in which we just want to throw people away who make mistakes. Sometimes the people that make mistakes are the ones that got the most mercy for people who make mistakes. Sometimes we have to be prepared for the fact that ain't nobody perfect in here. Ain't nobody perfect in here. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Ain't nobody perfect in here. You really want a perfect pastor? I don't know what a perfect pastor gonna say to you. First of all, you ain't gonna find one. You're not gonna find one. And if you find one, he's not gonna be a very good minister. Good ministers know what it means to bleed. Good ministers know what it means to get mad. Good ministers know what it means to be disappointed. Let's be honest. That actually, I realized that the Lord has polished me so that he can retrieve me. And then number four, I'm done, is he says that in verse 5, he says at the end, he says, for I'm honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. that I am anointed. See how they all were A's because I'm a preacher? Anointed with superpowers for this earth mission. I've been anointed with superpowers for this earth mission. He actually gave me his strength. Lord, be our strength in this place. He's actually given me his strength. When my strength starts to run out, I tap into a strength that's not my own. When I feel like I'm at the end of me, I have access to a strength that other people can't understand. I have access to a power that other people can't understand. I'm actually able to do things that make people say, how did you do that? How did you stay there? How did you deal with that? How did you forgive? How do you have that? How are y'all still married? How did you raise that child? And I can say, it's not just me. I have access to a strength that is greater than just myself. Since he knows he's trying to use me, he has given me an anointing with greater power than the average person. I need a witness in the building. I believe more than the average person. I have faith more than the average person. I can wait longer than the average person. I have perseverance more than the average person. I have a sight more than the average person. I see God in everything. Somebody should be saying to you, you see God in everything. Hey, you ought to be like, that's right. I can see things you can't see. I see God in everything. I see God in the success. I see God in the failure. I see God in the good stuff. I see his hand in the bad stuff. When something bad happens, I say, oh, my Lord, God, you've allowed that chaos because you've got clarity that you're going to show me later. You ought to get on somebody's nerves with all your superpower. People ought to be all like, oh, just shut up. You get on my nerves. You are always happy. You are always smiling. You are always, you make me sick with your joy. And you ought to say, yeah, the joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. Hate on me for my joy. I want you to be so happy you make people mad. I want you to be so blessed that people are sick of seeing you coming. I want you to be so blessed that you invite your haters to your housewarming. I want you to be so blessed that people say, I can't stand you. You make me sick with your Jesus can fix it. You ought to be better than the average person. Folk in your family ought to say, you just think you better than us, huh? You ought to say, with God on my side, I'm better than you crusty country people. If God is for me, then who can be against me? And you don't have to hate, just join. Turn your life over to him. Put your life in his hands. And not only will he give you direction, but he'll give you a power that you can't explain. I need a witness in the building. Peace that passes all understanding. Would you like this? No, thank you. I don't need weed. I got Jesus. Would you like a glass of wine? No, thank you. There's nothing wrong with it, but that's all right. I got a peace that passes all understanding, that guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Now, that would have made me snap. I know it used to make me snap too, but God stepped in and gave me a clarity. And now I realize that the more folk talk, the more God is setting up my testimony. The longer it takes, the greater the victory when I get there. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. And I realized that what other people call challenge is actually an opportunity for better. I was with Bishop. Y'all know I've got this interesting connection, an interesting relationship. And I was with Bishop Jakes, and we were just in a little meeting. It wasn't just me. It was a bunch of us that were there. And he said something to us that just blew my mind, almost made me wonder, should I even be a preacher? But he said to me, he said to all of us, that many of us miss the promises because very often promises are initially presented as problems. They're presented as problems, and we are so uninterested in problems that we miss the fact that locked inside the problem is the connection to your promise. And you will never be okay with promises if you're not okay with problems. Part of the reason why you are where you are is because they got on your nerves. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. You wouldn't be there if they hadn't rejected you. You wouldn't be here if they hadn't hurt your feelings. You wouldn't have been there if they hadn't made you mad. You'd have never started investing if they hadn't gotten shaky on you. Why are we complaining about the shady people? We ought to thank them because they made us turn to God, who is the rock that will never be shaken. That I've come to the understanding that he gave me a strength like no other. Constantly I'm saying, Lord, be my strength. In the middle of my challenging place, be my strength. Be my guide. Be my rock. Put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord. Jump on your feet. Jump on your feet. Reach out, grab somebody's hand, and let's pray for one another, Lord. Give us strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Let it reach to us. You are our strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Lord, give us a strength that cannot be explained. Give us a peace that cannot be explained. Squeeze your hand just a little bit. Give us a faith that cannot be explained. Give us a hope that cannot be explained. Give us a courage that cannot be explained. Lord, we are armed for this mission. Thank you, Lord God, that not only have you armed us, but you've strengthened us in our innermost place. In the middle of us, you've given us a strength. We surrender to your strength because we surrender to your plan. We surrender to your purpose. Have your way in us. Thank you for living so big in us today. Thank you for speaking to us and through us. Here we are, fourth Sunday in August. Thank you, Lord God, for your hand that's on us for good. As we march into the fall and students go back to school and we move forward, Lord God, I pray that you would give us a clear understanding of your hand on us. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God come, will of God be done. Thank you for the visitors that are with us today. Thank you for everyone that tuned in live stream around the world, around the area. Strengthen us by your power. And as we always pray, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For God, you're our rock, you're our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. You are dismissed. God bless you.